Tannhäuser is actually one of my favorite operas. I've always been moved by it. I think it's a great story of redemption and love, and I think those are great things in an opera. In 1977, I saw a production at the Metropolitan Opera that just blew me away. It was designed by Gunter Schneider-Simpson. And Gunter has done work with us before. He actually was the designer of the Rusalka we did and the Passion of Jonathan Wade. But when I saw that in 77, I vowed that if ever I was involved in a production of Tannhäuser, it would have to be that one or something similar to it. Well, to cut a long story short, we had permission from Gunter to remake that production for a stage our size. The Met is agreeable. The production actually began in Vienna. They have no problems. And the Met is letting us have their costumes, which complete the production.
Let's talk about the production itself, because it has a very interesting history. And I'd like to start actually with James. Now, it was originally designed by Gunter Schneider-Simpson.
The concept of the production is basically from the Vienna State Opera and the Metropolitan. Both of those productions were produced by Otto Schenk and Gunter Schneider-Simpson together. Conceptually, they're virtually identical, but they vary in shape and size and sort of style slightly because of the two houses. And the San Diego Opera had approached Gunter and to see about how we could take that concept and put it into this theater. And as Gunter is now 82 years old, he's a little bit infirmed and not quite able to travel or actually work, really. So it came. He asked me, I having been his friend for more than 20 years now and being somewhat of a student and of his and he a mentor to me, I was very, very proud to accept the challenge to put the production in this theater.
It was one of the first, you know, projected scenery success stories in the United States. And it's, you know, as somebody who studies scenery and studies the history of scenic art, this production is one of those ones that's always in the books, and it always talks about Schneider-Simpson, and it talks about his ability to blend built scenery and projected scenery, to live in both worlds, and it's not an easy thing to do. Now, the projections, of course, are only in Act 1 and Act 3. Act 2 is dimensional scenery, like that's in the model behind me. So, in addition to the challenge in this show of having to create an environment that is really dependent upon projected scenery, we have to get that all out of the way and bring in this big, giant, real scenery, which is 45 feet tall. And goes from proscenium wall to proscenium wall, so it's a big event for us.
What is it that makes a good Wagner singer, a good singer of Wagner? What do you need?
to sustain these very long phrases and that the voice really can cut through the orchestra, you really have to have had sung for quite a few years. And you have, as I have to say the same thing again, you have to be built up to really to do this. It's not about singing as loudly as you are just able to sing, but you have to have the quality of the voice on the body just to do this.
No, because there's a difference between the amplitude or the volume of the voice and what you call cut.
Yeah.
That there has to be, for lack of a better word, a kind of an edge or a point.
Yeah.
But it also has to be beautiful. I think Wagner always wanted, for instance, he's always talking about bel canto technique and wanting Italianate technique, but he wants them to sing German, and he wants them to be able to sing through this heavy orchestra. Would you agree, Miss Nieland?
It's some kind of, maybe it's the German bel canto, I don't know. You really have to, of course, you have to have a very good text. So that, because for Wagner, of course, his own text was very important, and to tell this story, I mean, in all operas, but especially this German language, and to have the voice to really stay over the orchestra, never to sing into the orchestra, because then you are lost.
Practice. We don't sing from here. We sing from the body. And that comes from practicing. I mean, not coordinating. I'm talking about practicing. You do a part, when I do Tristan or Tannhäuser, I gotta practice every day to get the muscles going. So they just do this all the time. It's like you get a quarterback, and if he doesn't throw pass the ball enough, warm up enough, you know, he's got to rocket that in there. It's muscles, and in this particular case, Petra is right on the button. You got to have the talent, you got to bring it along. It's part of you, but what do you do with it? And that's the catch.
I love this expression, cutting through the orchestra, as if the orchestra is some sort of animal and we're here to slaughter it, and we must, you know, conquer it. But I think if we want to blend with the orchestra, with the orchestral sounds, by producing vowels alone, you can't do that. We have to make use of the voice more also as a percussive instrument, which is, you know, as our maestro said in one of the rehearsal, that wonderful German word, Zischlaute, which means sounds of the language that buzz, basically. And the more we do that, the more we can first of all, understood, which is also kind of important in the theater, and heard as well.
You have to learn to speak it as well. The third act is not really sung. It's more spoken. It's more articulated. And this is very unique. Now, you'll have the beautiful bel canto aria of Wolfram. You have the beautiful bel canto aria of Elizabeth. And then Tannhäuser comes out and starts growling at everybody. Well, this is what he wanted. He really wanted the articulation, this very, very strong diction. It's really communicating. It's a real communication, and Wagner really wanted that.
What is the most challenging part of singing the role that you're doing for us?
But it's very difficult to answer that question because, you know, openly, the truth is, it's my job. And if I can't do it, I better not even try, because I will want to kill myself at the end. Or maybe you'll want to kill me, but we're not going to have that. It's full, as I said before, it's full of contrasts. You have to sing the first act. You have to sing the second act. And you have to speak your way and screech your way through that third act. And read the subtitles in that third act, because there's a lot he says. He's very, very cynical. He's very mad at the world. So it's very, very, very moving, I see.
The challenge is, how do we perform on stage and be spontaneous at the same time, and bring all our preparation and our technique and our stage direction together, and find a moment where, and for Wolfram in particular, because he in the second act there is this what's called the singer's war, the Sängerkrieg. It's of course not a war; it's a contest. Yeah, it's with a wonderful prize in the form of a gift being bestowed by Elizabeth, but the. It's a little bit like the TV show, what is it called, What Line Is It? Whose Line Is It? Where they said, and today you're going to improvise on love. And then Wolfram is chosen to improvise and dig deep to find out the origin and the meaning of love. And it has to be so spontaneous.
Wir reden möchten diesen Worten lesen, wie ich erken der Liebe reinstes Wesen.
For me, the greatest challenge is to find that moment.
You'll observe that Wagner, on each of these important works, makes a special turn, be it harmonically or melodically or in the instrumentation. And at the same time, naturally, having this big symphonic orchestra, he could add immensely psychology, subconscious, human relations which are not spoken. For instance, a wonderful relation in Tannhäuser is the relation between Wolfgang and Elizabeth, Wolfram and Elizabeth. He loves her deeply, but this is never said with one word. But the music makes you cry, because the music makes you understand this personal tragedy between these two persons.
Das war verdammt gut, wenn du schon.
Ja, gut, dann kann ich auch
machen. Geh schon in die Knie, dann machst du bitte schön, bring mich um, dann kommt sie mich halt und da bricht dich, da trifft sich nochmal der Blick von ihr und dir.
I'm always trying to define what is opera. Opera is telling a story by music.
Yes. Do either this, yes, or you want to ram it through.
That is the
Schimmelfrei.
Which means, simply said, I have to hear what I see and to see what I hear. There are some exceptions to that rule, but we can dismiss them at this moment. Yes? So, especially in Wagner, as Bob said, with all these colors and all these details in the orchestra, I have, as a director, the duty to find out what are these details, and even more important, why did he write that details? I have to be kind of music detective. Yes? And then, accordingly, invent the action on stage so it seems to you, the audience, that the music in this very moment is born and flows out of the action of the proceedings on stage.
And don't be afraid, for all this long, long room narration, stand like this.
Yes.
And this.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yes.
And then your reaction, that's what toll me. Weil es ist so überraschend und so, das war richtig schön. Das heißt, du verflucht. War toll. We really had a reaction. She and I. Like that. Because it came so.
The ideas must come out from the score. Because opera, in the first place, as I happen to say quite often, is it's not a natural art, it's a musical art. And everything has to be reined by the music, that is by the score. And if there's a specific instrument in the orchestra entering, expressing a very specific thing, then I have to find out what is it and why. And that I have to stage.
Obviously, the Venusberg scene happens at the very top of the opera. And in the scene, we are trying to suggest convincingly that Tannhäuser is in the kingdom of Venus, where carnal love and sensual love is very much the order of the day. In order to make a convincing counterpoint to that, for when he decides he wants to go back to the court of Wartburg to pursue a more earthly love, a pure love, a spiritual love, we needed to really accentuate and develop that, the Venusberg Ballet. Although the set is based on a design that was done for the Metropolitan Opera, and in that production, in fact, they did have several levels, little grottos, if you like. Obviously, the choreography is different, and I've actually embraced the fact that we have these different platforms. So, if you like, the scene can be going on, and we can still see little bird's eye view, really, of what's happening in Venusberg at that moment. And it's almost as if they're, you know, dancing out, you know, out of nowhere, really. So it was, I would say, Michael's idea, based on the design that was at the Met, but we have developed it further.
Those sender go slightly down. This one goes down, and they go normal. Portal X, if you want to use them, yes? You also can have.
I find that generally you have to have a dramaturgical thread that feeds through your work as opposed to an abstract dance. And obviously, particularly in this show, that's been the case.
As a conductor, you have to love the singers, and you have to love also the orchestra. So to find this balance, that is really the most difficult thing, you know. So it's not difficult to have a dramatic orchestra and loud, and probably also with a beautiful sound, but then you don't have partly only the singers. Yeah, and they said something very important. The words, text. Verdi, who told always to the singer, pronunciate le parole, la musica ho scritto io. It means pronounce well the words. I already wrote the music. So, you know, this is of course also for all the musicians something very important. Make the music as the music is. You can exprim the words better or less, but leave the music as the composer composed it. There we don't need an interpretation. We need a good performance. The interpretation, probably somebody else will say it was a very, very interesting interpretation. But the intention for us is never to interpret something, but to perform it. Perform it well.
Core writing for this opera in particular, and for all of Wagner writing, all of his vocal writing, is that he wrote very instrumentally for the voice. He, and for the choruses in this entire show, the way they're written, the way they're split, you can tell that he was singing instrumentally. And they're very complicated in this show, particularly in the way that it's written with all the chromatics and the key changes all the time. And a lot of it's a cappella. The important part about this show is that in Act Two, the chorus is important to the drama, but a lot of the show, well, throughout the entire show, they're important to the drama, but through the entire show as well, it's really about really great singing. And it's about a great sound being created all the time. I said in jest that this opera is kind of like all the men's choruses of Germany and Austria decided to go pilgrimage all of a sudden and wander around the hillside singing. And that's really what it has to sound like. I think I would say that the most difficult thing about this production for the chorus is not singing great. The difficulty is what they have to do dramatically, and that they have to, as you say, they have to enter and then they have to exit, and the sound quality has to be the same from offstage to onstage to offstage again. And after you achieve the right sound quality, you have to achieve a cohesiveness where you're all singing together, where none of you are in the same place at the same time. And getting that to happen with people, half of the chorus off stage, half of them on stage, they're wandering on, they're climbing stairs, they're going down steps on stage and climbing over rocks, has been a challenge and is a real difficulty for them, but they've done really great with it.
Wagner himself has had a reputation for being very ruthless for his art, not for him personally. But when it was about his art, he was absolutely ruthless, destroying other people. There were corpses all along his biographic way. And so, again, Tannhäuser was interesting for him, and he took that story to compose this theme. Accordingly, he wrote his very personal music, and he also had certain difficulties with this piece. He wrote a first version, that's the one you hear here, the Dresden version. Later he adapted it and changed it for Paris, and when the piece was performed in Vienna, he was trying and to improve it and change it and here and there. And in the end, he said, "I still owe the world a Tannhäuser."